Good afternoon. I hope everybody is doing good today. My name is Ethan. As you all know, I am making this podcast right now from my bedroom in my apartment in Valdosta. And yeah, today is not going great right now. The Atlanta Braves are getting killed. And it's really put me in a bad mood. Not going to talk much else about it because that is not today's topic. Today's topic is going to be about private school, or as I like to call it, cringy white kid school. So yes, before I get started, I want to say thank you for everyone who's listening to this podcast. This is my first time doing this, so if you ever have any suggestions or anything, feel free to message me on Instagram for any suggestions on what to talk about, or maybe if I'm not talking loud enough, or just anything. You can say I just suck if you want. Just be like, Ethan, your podcast sucks. Just kind of be honest. And I'll take it and punch you in the throat. I'm just kidding. All right, so today I'm going to talk about cringy white kid school, which is private school. And before I dive into this, I just want to say, put this out there. I'm very thankful that I went to private school, because private school is not cheap. For those who have been to private school, you know this, man. Private school is not cheap, and it was a huge sacrifice for me to go there. And I made a lot of my closest friends from my private school. And I grew in my faith a lot through private school there. So, yes. But now, it's time to talk about cringy white kid school. Okay, so the background is I went to a private school in the heart of Georgia. Macon, Georgia. A really, really small private school on the north side of Macon called Covenant Academy. There's people, it's so small, there's people in Macon that don't know what it is. It's gotten a little bigger, but it's still a small school. When I was there, I transferred there going into my ninth grade year. I've been in public school my whole life. My mom is a public school teacher. So I was in the public school system, and after my eighth grade year, she was like, yeah, this ain't gonna fly, because you're not learning anything. We need you to get challenged. So when you go to college, you won't be an idiot. So we went to Covenant, and I spent all 4 years of high school there, graduated there, and I am alumni of what it is called the Kingdom School. It is a, as they call it, a classical Christian education, which means really in-depth Bible classes and all that jazz. But we're going to talk about really what, there's a lot of people that have been to private school, but I think Covenant is almost in a league of its own. And we're going to go over why. First thing that comes to my mind when it comes to Covenant, the rules. They have some wild rules in that school, dude. For me in particular, there's the shaving rule. Now, this affected me and my good friend Jackson, who I'm going to get into Jackson a little bit later. But me and Jackson, We had a good bit of testosterone in high school, man. We had beards when we were like 16. And like if you had a 5 o'clock shot, we had a teacher. I can't say his name, but when I say this, everyone knows who I'm talking about. Mom wasn't as bad as Jackson, so I never had to do this. But He would make Jackson get out of class and go shave in the boys' bathroom. And I'm like, this is crazy, dog. It's crazy. Another thing about Covenant, that was the dress code. The dress code is pretty strict, too. Well, for me, it wasn't. Girls, it was, man. I'm glad I was not a girl at Covenant. They had to have, like, you know, they had to wear skirts and shirts couldn't be too tight. I ain't gonna go on the detail, but basically they always had to have what we call them the modestest hottest talk, which is like, you know, basically conceal yourself. So like, yeah, you know, so I went through high school, man, that never saw a girl's ankle, a shoulder. No, that's what crazy. I never saw a girl's shoulder. I'm just playing. It wasn't that strict, but I just made jokes about that. Another thing about Covenant, this isn't really a rule, but it kind of fell under rule. Dating at Covenant, if you were in a relationship at that school, oh boy, you could not show any form of what is called PDA, which stands for public display of affection. It wasn't a legit rule, but I've seen before. I was in Bible class, and I'm not going to say the names out loud, but we had a couple that sat by each other in Bible class, and they were like, the thighs were touching, man. They were pretty close. I'm not going to lie. And our Bible teacher saw it. He literally, like, got a Bible, put it between them, and said, we called it the leave room for Jesus rule. Leave room for Jesus. Amen. Covenant is such a small school. Everybody knows everybody's business. So if you had a crush on someone and you told like one person, that's going to spread like wildfire probably. You had to be real careful who you told stuff to. Because, you know, not much drama goes on there except relationship stuff. Because a lot of people aren't allowed to date. And so the fact of a relationship to some of them is like, oh my gosh, a relationship. And so, yeah. If you had a relationship, everyone knew you were dating, and it was, yeah. Another thing, it falls in line with dress code, I guess, but we used to have chapel every Thursday, you know, and we used to have chapel dress. And boy, oh boy. The dress code Nazis had field days on chapel day. Because you had kids that wouldn't have because we're supposed to have ties. I lost my ties all the time. I'm not even gonna lie. I used to go like find ties in the bathroom that someone had left and just use theirs. And I'd tie it. Probably think that's gross, but like I didn't want detention, so I had better things to do. And yeah, man, oh my goodness, they used to have like pull people out of the people would be sitting in chapel in the bleachers, they'd be pulling them out of the crowd. Call me a boy. Where's your tie, son? You gotta come to detention and blah blah blah. It was crazy. So those were the few rules there that were kinda weird to me. And so, yeah. All right. Now, obviously, coming from private school to a public school, there's a huge difference. And there definitely was a Covenant. First thing, I remember I wasn't even enrolled at Covenant yet. I did a thing called shadowing, where basically you're not a real student, but you, like, they pair you with someone in your grade level, and you follow them around like you're their shadow. And they show you like the routines of the school, what you do in classes, stuff like that. The first thing I know, I went to, for those who are from Macon, went to Rutland Middle. So yeah, I was used to seeing people get their stuff stolen all the time. And like, it was a gift, you had to have a lock on your locker. I walked into that school shadowing, and I didn't see locks on nobody's locker. And I was sitting there going, I was sitting there thinking, I started asking questions. I shadowed with Jackson, I remember that. I'm like, dude, why doesn't anyone have locks on their locker? He was like, oh, no one steals anything here. I was like, that's a lie. Someone's going to steal something. And I couldn't get over it, man. But yeah, I never really had a problem with anybody messing with stuff in my locker. And so that was a huge difference. Going to the bathroom at Rutland was like, oh, it probably as close as how what you would have to do if you had to go pee in prison. You had to like ask for permission. You had to go, they had a book by the door where you had to log in when you left the class. It'd be like, Ethan Harris, date October 9th. Reason for leaving, I have to urinate. Time, whatever, and then you had to bring like a big old, like little passing you put on your arm. And you had to go to the bathroom in Rutland. That was a story. There's always slap boxing fights in there. And so it was kind of like, yeah. But anyway, at Covenant, man, I was dumbfounded. I was like, they're like, some teachers really didn't even have to ask. They're just like, if you need to go to the bathroom, get up and go to the bathroom, just come right back. And I was like, you're just gonna trust the kids to roam the hall by themselves, unsupervised? Blew my mind, dude. Blew my freaking mind. Another thing that's probably the thing that stood out to me the most. The lunch. Lunch at Covenant is different, I think, than any school in the world. So, Covenant, our lunchroom, small. Muy pequeño. Tiny. We didn't have a kitchen at Covenant. We had to bring our food from home and microwave it. And so in our lunchroom, you had these big old long tables that went from like one side of the room to the other. And on the other side of the wall, and that was like closest to the hallway, they had like just like maybe 10 microwaves. And you would have to sit, go over there, wait in line, warm up your food, and go sit down. I remember thinking, bro, this is wild. Like, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that in my life. And then I say one thing that I don't think any school has done this to my knowledge. My senior year, we had to do this thing called a senior thesis. And I have a real good story about my senior thesis. So, basically, our senior thesis was, like, going into our junior year, we had to pick, a topic to debate pretty much against, like, a class and, like, a panel of four teachers there that, like, they knew their stuff. Man, they were, like, they graduated from, like, top of to class at seminary. So that they knew this stuff, they knew the Bible, they knew everything. And so pretty much your summer you had to find books and research stuff on your topic. So I chose the easy route, man. I went public school versus private Christian education because I knew that if I chose that topic, they'd go easy on me. But they went easy on me for another reason. So before my senior thesis, everyone that talks to knows about this had a bad knee injury from football. I'm gonna go into that a later time for people that don't know, give a full backstory, because it's a funny story. But anyway, at that point, I think it was like right before Christmas break. And so, I'm on crutches and I'm having to go like stand and give a speech on my thing for like 30 minutes. And so I kind of milked it, man. I milked it a little bit. It was cold outside, so I was like, how are you feeling? I was like, yeah, it's fine, just my knee hurts because of the cold. Oh. And then I was acting like it hurt to move. And I took my time going up the steps to give my speech. And they're like, you can sit down if you want. And I'm like, no, I'll stand. And so I did. And it went real well. But yeah, dude, I milked that injury bad. I'm gonna go into it later. But yeah, I milked it pretty bad. Yeah, you can. Anytime I'm sick or I'm hurt, I exaggerate it. I get that from my grandpa. You can ask my girlfriend. I exaggerate everything. She gets mad at me all the time for it. All right. So now we're gonna transition to what things I remember most about my time at Covenant. First thing that comes to my mind was my friend group, the squad. To this day, let's see, yeah, it's been 4 years, about 4 years since I've been in high school, and we still have a group chat and we talk like every day. So I think that's pretty cool. But I'm just gonna go over each member of this group chat, give a little synopsis. Some might be a little longer than others. If it is or isn't, don't get butt hurt. I don't want to hear it. But just because I know how this person is, if I don't put him first, he's gonna get mad. That would be my friend Jackson. Now, I remember Jackson was the first person I met at Covenant. And he was supposed to be the guy that shadowed me, and he ditched me. Go hang out with his friends. He just ditched me. Jackson didn't like me at first. I didn't like Jackson. But then going into my sophomore year, became good friends. And I think the one thing I remember most about Jackson in high school, Jackson now is a lot different. But Jackson in high school, he'd freak out. And it was funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Or just like, if you just kind of just pick on him a little bit, just pick on him and be like, Jackson. We'd be in, no, I'd be, I would sit behind him in class or something and be like, Jackson. Hey, Jackson. You suck. And he'd go, shut up, Ethan. Shut up. And freak out. I mean, he was also probably one of the easiest people to make laugh. Like, you just say something stupid. Jackson has a very distinct laugh. I don't even know if I could do it, but like I would say something stupid, and you hear Jackson like in the back, and we get him in trouble all the time for laughing. But man, Jackson, dude, I love you, bro. I love you to death. Next person I'm gonna talk about, name's Christian Tate. We just call him Tate. For those who don't know Tate, Tate was our star athlete. He was a running back at 260 pounds, ran a 4.5. He was a good basketball player, did track real good, well as well. But yeah, I mean Christian, other than being like an athlete, Christian's a funny guy, man. Yeah, but just being Christian just didn't care. Christian was one of the smartest kids in our class, in my opinion. I just didn't care. He just didn't care. He made good grades, he just didn't care. And he would just walk out, get out of class, and run the halls. And he's a big old dude. And he said they were trying to sneak around the hallways in class. And poor Christian was the only black guy in our class. one of the few in our school, and he's sitting there trying to sneak around in this small, tiny school. And you see this, you know, this big old guy just trying to sneak from class to class. And he takes up the whole door. He's sitting there trying to sneak around. But yeah, dude, Christian's a great dude. And he's up at Georgetown right now, balling out. Watch out. He's going to be in the NFL. Sure of it. Next guy I'm going to talk about is Perry Austin Taylor. I think he's the third. But he's better known as PJ. PJ is a special boy. The thing off the top of my head, first thing I talk about, PJ is half deaf in one ear. And so it just makes for great, great moments for PJ where he just is funny. We had a kid in our class that, bless his heart, he's just very, 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 very white, cringy kid. Sweet guy. He loved PJ. I love talking to PJ. Talk PJ's ear off. And so PJ would always sit him on the side of his bad ear so he couldn't hear it. And he'd just be talking to PJ about computer games. And PJ would be like, yeah, that's great. That's cool. The next guy in our group is Owen Frill. The Frills run the school, dude. Like, his dad's retired. His dad used to be the school dean in they called it the grammar school, which is pretty, that's elementary school. And Owen's sister was our English teacher. And then, like, there's a new Frill in the school, like, all the time. Like, he had two older brothers, and he has a younger brother that's my sister's age. And you can easily tell that they're brothers. They all have these big freaking blue eyes that look like the eyes of White Walkers from Game of Thrones. But I remember about him the most is Owen was always eating. He would just pull snacks out of anywhere. He just would be in class and all of a sudden hear munching. I was just eating some peanut butter crackers. And it was in the middle of a football game. We're in a huddle. And I'm like, you know, I'm fat. I'm playing offensive line. I'm out of breath. So I'm sitting there trying to catch my breath. And it's tired. I'm hot. And honestly, I hear some munching. And I turn around. Owen has a bag. I think it's sour cream and onion chips. In his sock. And he's pulling them. Just eating in the middle of the game. He's like, mouthful of chips. I'm hungry. Yeah, I see that, bud. I was like, it made me mad. Cause I'm a big old guy, and I'm like, he snacks all the time. I had like a snack one time. I gained 5 pounds. So it drove me nuts. But yeah, Owen's a baller, dude. Next guy I'm gonna talk about is Robert. Robert Cooper. Shout out to Robert. If you're listening, man, congratulations on getting engaged. He got engaged to his high school sweetheart, Miss Sarah Theus. I used to sit by them in lunch all the time. They're probably my favorite couple in the school. If anyone wants to be like, how do you say that? Because I knew a lot of couples in the school. They were my favorite, man. So I'm happy for him. But Robert's probably one of the funniest cats I know. He's a beast. He's great at baseball too, but I have some future stories about Robert. The next guy we got is Ben. Back then we called him BJ, Mr. Benjamin Hitchcock. I think he's doing real estate right now and at Mercer. Dude's successful. He's a stud. Benjamin is probably one of the smartest people I've ever met. He's genuinely smart. And he's funny. He's a funny dude. Okay, these next two guys. They came in kind of later, but they're very key members of our squad. The first guy I'm going to go over is Hunter. Hunter Duke. Now, when I first met Hunter, I'm going to be honest, man. I thought he was kind of a tool. I thought he was a tool. He looked like a frat. And he was just like, he's real clean cut. He had hair gel. Yeah, he's pretty fit. But then I got to talk. Hunter's one of the nicest people you'd ever meet. Funny dude. But Hunter used to make me mad as H double hockey stick. And there's nothing he did wrong. But like anytime we went anywhere, girls would gawk at him. Like they would stare. I mean, Hunter's a tall guy. He was a pretty fit dude. Yeah, girls just liked Hunter. And then here I am, like 5'10", chubby, got a big old knee brace on, glasses. I looked like Peter Griffin in high school, dude. I looked just like Peter Griffin. Like there's a picture of me at Disney World where I'm on a roller coaster with my glasses and my face looks so fat. I looked like Peter Griffin. So yeah, man. I used to be a little jealous of Hunter, man. He's great dude. My next guy is this dude's a character. Caleb Sands, better known as Minivan Sands, because he used to drive a minivan to school. It was a cool minivan. But Caleb was notorious for... Caleb is a stereotypical CrossFit guy. He looks like he does CrossFit. He wears Reebok clothes, have the Reebok workout shoes. And just hear him talk, man. I can do his voice. I remember I first met Caleb, and he was just like, he just came up to me like, "Hey, are you Ethan? That's cool, man. My name's Sands. Yeah, I do CrossFit. Yeah, we be at lunch, man." He talked about CrossFit all the time. And how much he would just look at something. He'd be like, "You look at a ladder. How heavy is that ladder? I can snatch that." And we'd be at lunch or something, be like, "Hey, Caleb, can you pass me the ketchup?" "Yeah, ketchup with these latch, dog." But Caleb was one of the funniest dudes I ever met. And then we have Kyle frickin' Bass. Kyle Bass, to this day, is one of the funniest individuals I've ever met. Kyle came our junior year as well. I knew Kyle growing up. I wasn't ever friends with him, but yeah, he went to Herd and Rutland with me. We never talked. And then we just became like great friends at Covenant. Kyle's humor really fits this podcast. It is a stupid kind of funny. Kyle just, I can't even go into it. It would take the whole podcast up. Kyle's a funny dude. And then, I'm running out of time right now, but our last three members, we have Stone. Stone is our political genius friend. I believe Stone one day will become president. Stone is the man. We have Chance Spires, aka Chicken Chance. I don't think I've ever met anyone that is more obsessed with fried chicken then Chance. If you've ever been to his house, you did not leave on an empty stomach, man. His mom, Miss Kim, greatest woman alive, never let you leave that house on an empty stomach. I still remember, "Chance, make sure that your friends get fed." Love Miss Kim to death. And then we have Matthew. Nothing special about Matthew. He has the same last name as me, but we're not related. But I used to tell all the teachers we were related, and they would like throw them off. And everyone was like, I had a teacher's like, "Now, Ethan, Yeah, I saw your brother Matthew the other day in the parking lot, and he's cutting up, and I heard he did donuts in that parking lot. And I just wanted to let you know, maybe talk to your brother. Help him out, you know, okay? Just pray for him, because I don't want him to go down the wrong path. And I just went along with it. I was like, yes, sir. I'll talk to him, man. He's so bad at home. Everything. Yeah. I'm just kidding, Matthew. I didn't say that, but he did think you were my brother and asked for me to talk to you. Just never told you. So yeah, that's our squad right there. You know, I have some fond memories at Covenant, dude. Great memories. So my first thing I think of when I think of my time at Covenant was probably, what's the first thing I think of? Oh yes. Now, if you were at Covenant at the same time I was, and you had lunch at the same time I did in my class, you probably hated it, or you probably loved it. We didn't care. We used to do the, if you ever played Halo, any Halo game, in the like the load in the like the menu, the menu screen, they have like, you know, this like chorus singing. They all have like deep voices like, oh, like that crap. And we used to but it was before like it went viral for like guys going to the bathroom and do it, like for it to echo. We would go in the lunchroom and do it. Because it's a small lunchroom, so sound doesn't travel. Like all the sound is like in that room is very loud. And it was just all compacted in that little lunchroom. And so we would just our whole all the guys at that table, every single one of us, we just started going into it, and it would get real quiet because everyone's listening, and be real quiet. And then I can't do it no more, but I used to do it as a pterodactyl screech. It was like a blood-curdling screech. Surprisingly, like shattered glass or nothing, but I would just go. I was so loud. It was so funny, and I would just do as loud as can. And, but we had to stop it because there's a few kids that shadowed one day when I did that, and it legit scared them. Like they're like, yeah, mom, I don't want to go to this school. There's this crazy kid at lunch that can, he sounds like a freaking dinosaur. And he screams at lunch. And everyone claps, like, yeah. I almost scared Hunter away from coming to Covenant for that. And we just used stupid stuff at lunch, man. We had one couple at our table that always argued. They used to argue like in front of all of us at lunch, and I guess they got wind of it, which I'm glad they did. And so we knew if they went to go argue, they would go like. They would go, we gotta go to the water fountain. Even though they had full water bottles right there. But we all knew why. They weren't getting no water. But yeah, we used to go like follow them. We just stupid stuff. It was amateur stuff, but it was fun. Another great memory I have, probably our art class, dude. Art class at Covenant was lit. Because most of the time, if you took it your senior year, especially, you had to take it your senior year. Senior year art was great because really didn't do much. And it was like, we just kind of like cut up in the class. And my class in particular, man, it was like karaoke day every day. We just started singing songs the entire time. And like, that was what we were known for in that class too. We sing, make art. We're like the dwarves from Snow White. But yeah. And by the way, I was probably one of the worst art students ever. Like, I'm serious. When my art was so bad, I had to be graded differently than all the other students. It was bad. Like, the teacher knew my mom, and my mom like would talk to him and be like, "Hey, just giving you a heads up, Ethan's not that good at art." He's terrible at art. And the art teacher's like, "Oh, that's fine. I can work with him. It'll be fine." Like, maybe 2 days later, my mom gets an email. "Dear Gina, oh my God. You did not say he was that bad." And it's like, I've already got bad ADHD. I can't focus when I'm doing art because I got my friends around me. And I have no artistic bone in my body. And so, I had to get graded. I got graded on effort. So, I did good in the class. I passed. I think I got an A. But it was kind of humiliating, but at the same time, man, I sucked at art. Another great this probably is one of the things I was famous for at Covenant. So this is my sophomore year, and we had Spirit Week. It was like, they chose a week in the spring where we like every day you had different kind of themes and stuff. You dress up. We had competitions with like all the other grades. And we had like a talent like a skit song competition thing. And what we decided to do was I made a rap, a legit rap song, like a diss track on our seniors. The seniors my sophomore year, literally most of the seniors they all dated each other. And we just found it funny. They either like dated each other or they like flirted with each other and didn't. And so we're like, I was like, "Why don't I just make a diss track about the senior class?" And so I went, and like a lot of the seniors, their siblings were in our class. And so I would have like, you know, let's see. PJ's sister, Hannah, was a senior. I tried to get PJ to dress up, like have a wig and be Hannah, but he wouldn't do it because he's a butthole. He is a giant butthole. He still is. Love you, PJ, but your butthole. Wouldn't do it. But like Owen's older brother, Russell, was in there, so I had Owen like dress up like Russell, do like Russell things. Because Russell was very different from Owen. Owen is very quiet. He's always very reserved, calm, quiet. Russell's much louder, much more charismatic. So Owen did a great job with that. And then, yeah. And so right before, like, we had to rehearse it because we had dance moves to it. And I was, like, dressed up a certain way. And right before it, I can't give her name. Because I don't know if she wants me to use her name in this. So I'm just going to give her. Her name is Cindy. Cindy helped kind of coordinate it. And like, it was right before we went up. So I'm like, I'm nervous, man. I'm about to rap in front of, even though it's a small school, it's maybe like 200 kids all looking at me while I rap. And so I'm a little nervous. And like all of a sudden, I'm not processing what anyone's saying. I'm just thinking, like, remembering my lyrics, what I gotta do. And all of a sudden she comes up to me and she says something. I hear like, "Wah, wah, 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 wah." And I was like, "Yeah, sure, whatever. I don't care." So, you know, I don't know what she says. And so, you know, all the lights go off. Showtime. And so I start getting into my rap. And it's like this is the very beginning of the song when this happens. And so I start from like one end and I'm going all the way down. We had like a line of like the people playing, the siblings that were like singing with me. And it was a dish rap to the beat of Royals, but I don't even know her name. I think like her name is Lord. It ended with E. It's not how to spell Lord. People are weird. But anyway, Cindy is like at the very end, and Cindy was impersonating a senior that is known to be very clumsy. And what happened when Cindy told me that thing before the performance, Cindy told me that she was gonna fall out in front of me. And she was warning me, but I was so focused on what I had to do, didn't listen. And so when she does that, I like fall. I busted my tail. Like, if it took me like 5 minutes to fall down. And the mic, and you hear like, it hit the ground, went boom, boom, boom. And I like panicked. But it happened at the right time. And because it didn't mess up. It did not mess up like my when because there was a pause when I got to her. And so I like popped up. It was like full adrenaline. And I just kept going with the song. And I nailed it. But so like after it, everyone was like, man, I thought that was really funny how y'all, you fell. Okay, there's gonna be a weird pause where I was just talking. Someone interrupted my podcast, bro. So, yeah, this is me learning. So, I'm putting it on Do Not Disturb. But, as I was saying, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. Everyone after my performance was like, yeah, that, when you fell, like, it looked like it was on purpose, was it? And so I didn't want to be embarrassed. And so I was like, yeah, man, we practiced that. It was great. Cindy's over here with a scowl on her face. She goes, no. It was not on purpose. It was not on purpose. He didn't listen to me. And he fell, kicked me in the head. And it was on accident because he doesn't listen. And so the whole school, I think I put it on Facebook. And you've seen it before. I fell in front of the entire school dressed up like an idiot. And that moment will forever live in infamy. Infamy for me. I think that's the word. Infamy? Yes, infamy. I think, if it's not, I'm going to get made fun of. But yes. And another great memory we had was probably. Oh, not probably. So our junior year, we had foreign exchange students for the first time come to Covenant. And we had two, I think we had two in our class. One of them lived with Benjamin, and that was Max. He was from Germany. Max is cool, but who we're going to talk about right now, I was much closer with. Dude was hilarious. His name was Michael. It looked like Buthel, but I think it was Michael Boydell. It'll spell like Buthel. Michael, like, I didn't even have to ask where he was from. He sounded so German. He was like, oh, hello, I'm Michael. I can't do his accent, I'm sorry. But he was like, yeah, Michael, I'm German. I'm German, I'm from Germany. Yeah, that's how he said it. And so, yeah. And so, Michael, for like the first, we didn't see much of him, but we really didn't get close with Michael, especially till baseball. I used to play baseball. It kind of was like me, Robert, Hunter, Caleb, PJ. Owen did, but then Owen quit our senior year so he could play soccer. No, you play both. Oh, you should play both. I will always hold this against you. But I digress. Anyway, so Michael always wanted to play baseball, and so we go out. We did like baseball conditioning, and he lived with one of the baseball coaches, and so one that I hadn't really talked to Michael. It's I just see Michael throw, and oh my God, it was like I looked at my friend, like, guys, I don't think he's ever played baseball before. I mean, he was like noodle arming that thing. He was like, but like he had a strong arm though. Like it was the most ugly looking throws. But I mean they'd hurt your hand. And he threw, and man, Michael is a trip, dude. Like there's one practice we didn't know where to put him on the field. And so we just did what most baseball coaches do. If they don't know where to put you, stick you somewhere in the outfield. And so they had everybody out in the outfield practicing, you know, pop flies and running after, you know, like line drives and stuff. And so Michael goes up. Bless Michael. So Michael couldn't catch cold. And he's, bless his heart, but he tried his best, man. We love him. He tried his best. I mean, he's out there struggling, and he's getting frustrated. He's cussing in German, can't repeat the words. And so I'm just like, you know, he's like right behind me, and he goes, "Ethan, next time I go out there, I'm gonna catch it." I'm like, "Yes, you will, Michael. I believe in you." And so, you know, I did my thing. I like hobbled at the ball, and I was not a good outfielder. I'm a big old dude. I can't run. And so Michael goes up, and the coach just hits like this towering pop fly, and it's kind of cloudy and it's getting dark, and so it's kind of, then it had the lights on, so he couldn't like find the ball, and he like has his pain. I'm looking right at his face, and all I see is just pure panic, and he doesn't like put his glove up or nothing. He's just got his hands out like, "Where's the ball? I don't see it." And in the middle of "I don't see it here," bam, that ball hits him like right in the nose. He drops, and we're like, "Oh gosh, we killed Michael." And so we run over there, and his nose wasn't broken, but it was bleeding, and someone that happened to have like a clean rag. And he has it on his nose. He goes, "Oh, the blood is everywhere. The blood." And he came to school. He had a big old purple nose. And he was like, I look like Snowman. We're like, "Michael, bro, it's all right, man." But yeah, Michael's, he did get to play in one game. And this is also, so if you've ever watched baseball, when you get a hit, you're supposed to run to first base, which is on the right. Third base is on the left. Michael, he goes up, you know, Michael couldn't hit either. He went there, I mean, he's probably better now, but, you know, Michael, he'd never played baseball, never watched it, but wanted to play. And, you know, he's had a bad swing. It's kind of an ugly swing. And so, like, if he made contact, a foul ball, we were like, "Yeah!" We were freaking out. And so Michael, like, hits the ball into play in a real game that matters. And we're like, "Yeah, Michael, go, Michael, go!" And Michael freaks out, and he goes, "I don't know which way to run!" And he, like, darts for third base, and the coach is going, "Nay, Michael!" Our coach is old. And so he really didn't remember our names. He just would say our numbers. Like, "Number 25, what are you doing? Get that first base, what you doing, boy?" He's like, "Oh, I thought you this was first base." And they got him out. Oh, my gosh. And coach was like, "I would never put number 25 in the game again. He's in my kitchen, brother. He's simply in my kitchen." Our coach, I think he's Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan's brother or something. He had the handlebar mustache. Coach Ox. Love Coach Ox. But yes, another great memory. It's probably the last thing I'm going to talk about today. This is very infamous for our class. But our senior year at Covenant, We had a senior trip. We took it to New York City, and I think we were there for 5 days. This entire trip was probably one of the best and most fun experiences of my life, but we had a lot freaking happen on this trip, dude. So, first day, we all get up at like 5 a.m. We're pumped. We go to Atlanta Airport. We make our flight on time. And there's like a few of us, that was our first time on a plane. And so there's a lot of excitement for it. And then we get to New York. So the trip there, so everyone was kind of like, they didn't let us choose what rooms we were in. And me being like, I was one of those ultra, I am one of those ultra nice guys that will do things that I really don't want to do. Well, I'll do them because I'm nice. And so, I wanted to room with like my friends, but because there was, there's, I can't, I'm not gonna give his name. There's a kid in the class that, no one wanted to, they knew he wasn't like, he just didn't fit in with some most of the guys in our class, because a lot of us are kind of like sporty and not very, we're nerdy, but he was like exceptionally nerdy, like look very nerdy. And our chaperone comes out to me and she's like, "Ethan, I know you want to room with your friends, but would you please just room with so and so?" And I was like, she said please, and there's girls around, so I didn't want to look like a jerk. So I was like, "Yeah, of course, I'd love to room with him. That'd be great." In my head, I'm like, "Crap." And so, but it was actually turning out great, because everyone else had to, like, all the other guys had to share a bed, and it was just me and this guy, and there was two beds, so we had our own beds, which was nice. But and New York's a different city, dude. He's never been. It's packed. No one there knows how to drive. And dude, we saw a lot. First off, our tour guide, she was a, I don't even remember her name. She was like a small Italian lady. She had like man, she had a potty mouth. She's like cussing at the taxi drivers who were walking across the street. She went, "I'm walking here. I'm walking here. You bleep, bleep, bleep." She's like, "Oh yeah, sorry, I forgot. You're a Christian school, you jerk." And so yeah, we look at the little sheltered little Christian, little sheltered little cringy white kids are on their trip. New York. And so the first couple days, were fun. We went to top of the Rockefeller, and then what else? We did so much. Oh, we saw the School of Rock on like Broadway. Insane. It was awesome. But yeah, but things at night, they picked up real fast. Like I think it was the second or third night. And I forgot where we ate. I think we went to some like nice restaurant in like Greenwich Village or something like that. And we had kind of like some, I forgot what we ate. It was good. But I'm guessing it was not good to my roommate. And like he's pale. He just wasn't himself. And so I'm just sitting in my room. And he's in the bathroom, and all of a sudden I hear, "Hur!" And I just keep hearing it, and I want to like go to the door. "Are you okay?" He goes, "No, I'm not okay. Please help." He's like, he goes, "Help me." And so I'm freaking out. And I go in the bathroom, and he's throwing up blood. Like, blood. It looked like someone had like murdered somebody in the bathroom, and he comes up. I felt so bad for him. He comes up to me and goes, "Ethan, please pray with me, please." It was just like Forrest Gump. I was thinking like Jenny, Forrest, pray with me, Forrest, pray with me. And so I'm sitting there, I'm praying with him. I'm like, dear God, I don't know what's wrong with him, but please help him. I really didn't know what to say. I was just like, oh, God, please help. And so I called our chaperone. And she's like, hey, Ethan, how's it going? Not so good. So-and-so is throwing up, and he's throwing up blood. She goes, I'm sorry, did you say blood? And I was like, yeah. And so they take him to the hospital, and they said it was some allergic reaction, and he was fine the rest of the trip. And then the next couple days were somewhat normal. Me and Kyle got attacked by a homeless lady. I don't know how, we were walking down the street, and I just made some joke about, like, I saw some, like, some girl, and I was like, hey, girl, what your feet look like? And all of a sudden, there's, like, this alley, just, like, this is, like, such, it was, like, a stereotypical homeless lady. She comes out of nowhere with her shopping cart. She stops, and she's blind. And so, like, because her eyes were, like, blue and, like, grayish. And she looks at me and she goes, who do you think you are? Do you think you are God? And just takes off. And she like does this in front of like all these people on the street. And like everyone in our class is like frozen. But like all the New Yorkers are just like walking around. It's like, I was like, did they just not see that? That I guess they're used to that. And then pretty soon later we saw someone get hit by a car. That was interesting. He was on his bike, got hit by a taxi, and I think that same day, my friend Ben dressed up as Buddy the Elf, and wore the Buddy the Elf costume like all day, and it was hysterical. Like I got it on video. We were in like the subway, and he's on the escalator. And he's got his legs stretched out, but it was like he. The day he picked it out was like probably not a great day to do it, because our class went to the I think the Cosmopolitan Art Museum, I think is what it's called, and so it's like a real like a real serious art museum. You gotta be quiet, and here comes our class. You know, and they're like goofing off, making goat noises. And we got a kid dressed up as Buddy the Elf. So like we got everyone's attention. We were like the smallest group there. I think there's only like maybe 30 of us max. And like a bunch of other schools were there, and they're just like this little dip. And I saw her from a dip. I'm just like, she was like looking at Ben, and she just always like, oh man, this girl is going to say something, and it's not going to be intelligent. And she walks up, she goes, oh my God, I just love your costume. Are you Peter Pan? She thought Benjamin was Peter frickin' Pan. And it's pretty, Buddy the Elf is a very distinct costume. It's got the yellow leggings. Well, I guess I can see why it'd be Peter Pan, but at the same time, no. And Ben just, he just looks at her and goes, are you stupid? And she's like, oh my God, I'm sorry. And so I think she cried. Oh well. But yeah, we went through all that. And then, you know, a couple days go by, and then I think it was our last night. And so the story I'm about to tell you is a very famous story within our school, within our grade, and I don't think the story will ever lose its luster, because it's funny. It's fan-freaking-tastic. So, I'm not really involved in this story, but my friends are. So, I'm going to give it to you from my perspective. Our last night, you know, I was hanging out in their room. But we had to be back in our rooms by, like, I think 11. And so I hung out in there by 11. And, you know, one of our friends was going through a rough time. The trip kind of hadn't been good to him. He had lost his headphones on a plane. He, a certain somebody on the trip was, I'm not going to go into detail. He was just having a rough time. And I guess he just wanted to do something destructive. And so him, it was Jack, my friend Jackson, brought, I don't know the exact people involved, throwing the stuff out the windows. But basically, the group of friends, my group of, they got bags of water, I think, water and ice, I think. And we're probably like, at least, we're at least 10 stories up. We're 100 feet up in the air, at least, give or take, like, give. And I had no idea this was going on, because I was on the other side, my room was on the other side of the hotel, and I think the only people that weren't, it was like, the only guys, it was me, my roommate, Christian, Kyle, Chance, and a friend Nick, Big Nicky style. And so, all the other guys, they're like, I think they're Snapchatting it too. And so, I never saw the Snapchats, because they had to delete them. But they were on the top, they were throwing these bags of like ice and water out the window and just letting them hit just like the sidewalk and go. I guess it was loud, because I'm guessing it was very loud, because some lady called the cops and said that somebody is throwing stuff out of the hotel window and it's hitting the street, and she said it's loud and sounds like many bombs. Now, you're just think about the scenario, okay? We're like, we're not just New York. We're like the middle of New York. Like, we're across the street from Grand Central Station. And New York, at this point, was on high alert. I think, yeah, there was a terrorist attack at an airport in Turkey. And so, anytime there's a terrorist attack somewhere, New York goes on high alert. And so, cops are around, the National Guard's around and stuff. And so, probably that time to be doing funny business was not the best time. But I mean, they're high schoolers. We're in high school. We don't think about that stuff. We're just thinking, hey, this is funny. Let's do it. But they're throwing bags and that stuff out the window. And they call the hotel, and then I think they call the cops. And so I think, I don't know how it happens, but they like, someone points out what window, and whoever works at the hotel figures out which room it is, and they go to the hotel, they go to the rooms and get them all out of there. And they're like, and then they call our chaperone, who, we had two of them. One of them was very laid back. I love both of them. They were our teachers, probably my two of my favorite teachers at Covenant. The other, he worked in the military. He was very laid back for the most part at times, but when it came down to be serious at times, when we were supposed to be serious, he expected it, and he was not happy. And so, yeah, they get in big trouble, and then they go back to bed. None of us know about it. No, I don't think anyone else knows at this point, but the people who are in trouble. And so, you know, I wake up the next morning, you know, get ready, get on, make sure all my stuff's packed. I'm kind of ready to get home now. And, you know, me and my roommate, we get to the lobby, and, you know, most of the people are there, but it's like dead silent. Like, it's obvious something went down, but no one knows. Or no one wants to say, but I look at my friends and they just look—they look tired. They kind of look like scared. And so I was thinking, like, does something bad happen? Like, can we not go home or something? I don't know. But you could feel this like tension brewing. And so our chaperone just goes, "Look, I'm going to be honest. We had some people in our group last night do something stupid. Stupid. And he, you know, explained the whole story to us. I don't think he didn't give us the names. Well, I don't remember. I mean, I think he did. But yeah, the rest of that day was so awkward. And yeah, when they got back to the school, you know, they got in trouble. I think they had to do like community service. Like, I think they had to work at a dog kennel, and I think they washed cars, cop cars in particular. I don't know what else they did, but yeah, that was probably one of the craziest. That trip was amazing. And yes, I have plenty more stories, but I can't go into detail right now for each thing. For more stories, I mean. But all in all, like, I'm really grateful for my time at Covenant, because I did meet some of my best friends there, had great memories there, and it was purely awesome. Now, I did leave out some things that, like, particularly about sports, because I'm saving that for a different podcast, because that will take like a whole lot more time to talk about, because that's the story within itself. But yes, so I appreciate y'all taking the time and listening to my podcast. Very excited to keep doing these, and I think they're gonna get better and better each time, you know, because this is something new to me, so I'm gonna keep working at it, getting better. But hey, appreciate those of y'all who listen. Remember to keep update with my Instagram page, and I'll make announcements of like when I post podcasts, and most of them will be on Spotify. I think they'll be on Apple Podcasts, but I know for sure it's on Spotify. So, yes. So, that is all the time I have for today. Y'all have a great rest of your day. And the next time we talk, I'm going to talk about what it was like growing up the only boy in my household, and the things I've learned about women from my perspective, and how it's affected me now as a man. So, man, I appreciate you guys. Have a nice day.